This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Good Wednesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And I'm sure they are very happy in Columbus, Ohio, after the College Football Playoff Committee said, Buckeyes, you are number one. What did they say to LSU and Alabama? Now, they made the Tigers number two, and they made Alabama number three. But more importantly, what did they say to Clemson? We'll get into that throughout the show today, because there's a lot to dissect. This is the one that matters. All the AP stuff the coaches pulled, that's for fun. That's for nostalgic purposes. That's for marketing, as I've said many, many times. This is the one that matters. And this is the one where coaches, if you're vying for a national championship, this is the one you are trying to pay for and play. You pay attention to. And this is the one you have to play towards. All right. Do we have to start impressing the committee now? How do they look at us? Where do we stand? What do we have to do? Do we just win out and we're okay? What if we win out and others win out? If you're Clemson and the defending national champs were ranked fifth, and they're the only team on the board that is 9-0. Everybody else is 8-0 that is unbeaten. They're the only ones at 9-0. But we've been talking about this all year. Clemson didn't pop. You know, they had these games where they were okay and they beat weaker teams, but they never really popped. And that is what the committee has been saying all along. We do care how you look and we do care who you play. Now, Clemson did play Texas A&M, but overall, there has been this feeling that something is not quite right with Clemson. Now, can they get back into this? Of course, a 13-0 Clemson team is going to the playoff. Because if you look at what is happening with the four teams, Penn State is going to play Ohio State, and LSU and Alabama are playing this weekend. Somebody's getting out of this top four coming up next weekend. There's no sense to panic, but it is a statement, and we'll get into all of that and what it means, and what exactly does it say coming up. It is SB Nation AM. I'm glad you're with us on a Wednesday. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. So what did the committee say with their rankings yesterday? Some inside stuff on that as we continue along at SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along here on a Wednesday. College Football Playoff Committee rankings came in yesterday, and with bated breath, we all waited. Of course, these are going to change. We know that. There's plenty of games left, and there's plenty of important games left. But, yeah, it's kind of cool to see what the committee is thinking. But there's a couple of caveats here. One, remember that the committee does, they're supposed to start all over again every week. All right? That's the thing they keep saying over and over again. Right? So, if you're used to the old BCS days, or even before that, even when it was the AP and the coaches' rankings and whatnot, if you're used to, well, if we're ahead of this team and we keep winning, we'll stay ahead of this team kind of mentality, that's not how the committee is supposed to work. The committee is supposed to say, all of this is thrown out the window. Ohio State is number one this week. They're playing Maryland. They're going to roll over Maryland. But if LSU has an impressive win in Tuscaloosa, LSU will be the number one team next week, right? That's a better win. So the committee is not saying, Ohio State, you're number one until you lose. They're saying, Ohio State, you're number one right now. And next week, we'll take a look and see the resumes again. And we might have a new number one. We might have a new number two. We might have a new number three. Obviously, with LSU and Alabama playing, there's supposed to be a shakeup there. Clemson is on the road at NC State. Maybe they get an impressive win. They go to 10-0, and maybe they get right back into the thick of this. Are there any things to take out of these rankings that we can then sort of digest? Well, the biggest one for me is what happens to the loser in Tuscaloosa Saturday? That's the big one. And what if it's Alabama? Because right now the committee is saying they think right now LSU is better than Alabama. LSU is number two. Alabama's at number three. Maybe it's by a slim hair by the committee. Maybe it's by the slimmest of possible margins, but that's the way they see the matchup. If LSU beats Alabama in Tuscaloosa, that's a home loss for the Tide, albeit against a team slightly better than them, according to this committee. What does that mean for Alabama? Does it kick them out of the playoff? Even if they win the rest of the way but don't go to Atlanta, does it kick them out? That's the question I have. I have a hard time believing this committee will keep a one-loss Alabama team out of the playoff, even if it loses to LSU, even if it loses, well, if they lose a close game. If they get kind of blown out, then yeah, maybe then I could see it. But if it's a classic and Alabama loses, even at home, I just can't see this committee doing that. But I'm not 100% sure, and I wouldn't go to Vegas and bet on that. Because the committee is looking at this going, okay, look, as of right now, Ohio State and Penn State are our top four teams. One of those is going bye-bye when they meet later on in November. One of them is going to lose. Do you think that they would keep a Big Ten one-loss team between those two or a one-loss SEC team, given the resume? To me, I just can't imagine if Alabama and Penn State, if you're fighting between those two and it's one loss, it's a one-loss situation, that Alabama would get snubbed by Penn State. I would find that hard to believe if that's what it would come down to. But you don't know how this plays out. There's no way Clemson is getting kicked out of this thing if they run the table and win the ACC. No, there's no scenario that's happening. Right now they're 5, they're 9-0, but they're looking up at two teams above them and someone's going to lose. Two of them are going to lose. All right? So they know that already. Two of these teams are going to suffer one loss. Just don't know who it is. But when it's all said and done, two of them are going to lose. So Clemson's in good shape. I know it must drive Clemson nuts that they're 5th and they're the defending champs. But we said it and we'll say it all along. And we'll keep saying it if the committee keeps putting them out of the top four. Just because you're the champions doesn't mean anything. It has no relevance coming in. There's no relevance for that in any sport. I mean, the college basketball tournament doesn't automatically give the last year's champion a one seed or a bye or anything like that. This doesn't happen in any sport, so it shouldn't happen here. Clemson's resume is what it did starting in week one all the way through to now. Whatever it is whatever it is. Right? Oregon got a bigger boost than I thought at 7, given that they lost to Auburn. Oklahoma's there at 9. Baylor was the interesting one to me because Baylor's 8-0. Now, Baylor, if the committee had Baylor low, like 8-0 at 16 or 17, where they're putting Minnesota, then I would go, okay, wait a minute. Now, if the Sooners are going to be that one-loss team that needs a boost, then beating Baylor at 18 or 17 isn't going to give them the boost. But if they beat Baylor and Baylor is creeping into the top 10, that might be the boost for them. Florida, the best two-loss team in the country right now, according to the committee. They could be heading to a New Year's Bowl if they win out. Auburn is right behind them at 7-2. Florida obviously edging, beating Auburn during the regular season, so they edged them in the polls. Michigan is at 7-2. The committee likes SMU at 25. That's one of the AAC teams, but they like Cincinnati. They're at 20. The Bearcats, if they run the table, could get a New Year's Bowl 6-2. So I think it's fun to kind of look and digest all of this and where is it going and what does it all mean? But I think if you're the committee, you've made your statement right now. This week, this is where it is, and we know next week will change. I want to know how – look, that game in Tuscaloosa is very important. There's a lot of things on the table here. Ron, you and I talked about this before. That column in that came out saying Alabama should keep Tua on the bench, play Mac Jones, win, play this game, win, great. Lose, without Tua, you don't get punished. If they play Tua and lose, right now the committee is saying LSU's better, and if you lose to LSU, you might not get back into this thing.
You might drop to five.
You might drop to five, and you might not have an opportunity to get back into this thing, even though Auburn is still on the schedule, and they're liking Auburn at 11. Now, that would concern me.
Do you think them liking Auburn at 11 is just to... like an insurance policy for Alabama if they are to lose?
Oh, boy, that would be a deep, deep thought in by the committee.
Sorry, I didn't mean to have one.
No, good. That's good. That's good. No, look, I would like Auburn, too. Auburn's two losses this season were a road game at Florida and a road game at LSU. And the LSU game was close. Right? They lost by three. Florida, not so much. Auburn could have played better and didn't play better and should have. But... their two losses are against two teams that the committee really likes in Florida and obviously LSU. So I would think that they would like them. But if you're Alabama and if you've got Auburn still on your schedule and you have that one loss, if you lose to LSU, you got Mississippi State, Western Carolina, and Auburn. The Auburn loss, the Auburn win has to be enough to make you a non-championship playing one-loss team that is better than teams going to a championship and losing, and that's a key. What if you're Penn State, right, and you beat Ohio State, right? I mean, they like Penn State enough that Penn State should be in line for, again, if they're running the table leading into that game. They should be in line for a number one of the top teams, the number one team. Now, those two teams can't meet in the Big Ten championship, but if you take down the Buckeyes and you go undefeated and you play Minnesota or I guess it would be Minnesota right now, maybe Iowa, if Iowa kicks it, maybe Wisconsin. But if you do that, you're the number one team in the nation. Or does LSU beating Alabama make them the number one team until they lose? Who knows? I mean, it's fun to look at all this stuff, but we still have some key matchups that really need to be sorted out before we take anything out of this. But can I just say one thing about what this means to the people in Columbus? It would have been so easy for this committee to go, LSU is the number one team in the country, or Alabama is the number one team in the country. Go down the SEC route, right? The whole narrative about the SEC. Best conference in college football, toughest conference in college football. But Ohio State, that has two ranked wins, and I'm going to count Michigan State because they were ranked at the time, but their biggest ranked win is against Wisconsin. Michigan State was ranked 25th or 23rd or something like that when they played them. Michigan State's not ranked now, but doesn't matter. They were ranked at the time. But obviously their big ranked victory this season is against Wisconsin. But they've played Florida Atlantic. They did beat Cincinnati. At the time, Cincinnati wasn't ranked, so I'll give them a little bit more credit for that, and they shut them out. But they're dominating teams. I mean, they are dominating teams. They are putting up 48 points per game, allowing 8 a contest. And this is when the committee says, you know what? Yeah, you're better than the two hot, unbeaten SEC schools. Man, that's a rarity. I mean, I know they've done it before, but that's not an unbeaten SEC team is usually the number one team in the country when we get to this committee stuff. But, you know, Ohio, they love Ohio State, and rightfully so. Ohio State is very, very good. Well, all right, we'll talk more about this as the show goes on. Coming up, we'll stay in the college ranks because last night, basketball tipped off around the country. Did we see anything in Madison Square Garden super exciting? I did. I'll tell you about it next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening. listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better Drive Safer Sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after a mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades, and they'll even install those wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Last night, I hung out with a buddy of mine. We went out and got some wings to watch some college basketball. And you know what's weird when you go out and I go out to watch college basketball? I don't really watch college basketball. It's just on. And we end up talking. And we end up looking up. And we end up every now and then catching the game. And, you know, we're not watching it like we're at each other's, you know, house and hanging out and really watching the game. We're eating food and hanging out. But anyway, got to see a little bit of the Michigan State game
Kentucky.
Against Kentucky later. Saw Duke, Kansas in the beginning, and then I went home and watched Kentucky and Michigan State. So I saw Duke, Kansas was the beginning, was the first game, and I caught that in the periphery while I was woofing down wings.
Teriyaki, as one should.
Teriyaki and honey barbecue split the order.
Okay.
Yes. By the way, when did wings get really expensive?
I have no idea. I guess, you know, the chickens are got unionized.
I had 12 wings, some fries, and a drink, and my meal came out to $22.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't sound right, but it does sound about
right. I left a $6 tip, and because, I'm getting off the subject here, but I want to give a public service announcement. If you go to a restaurant to watch a game or hang out and you realize you've been there just a little too long, tip your servers a little bit more for taking up the table. It's just a nice thing to do. Try to do that. The two guys I was with, we gave her probably like $25 when it was all said and done. I wasn't drinking. My buddy was drinking and she kept, giving him some beers. But we were there for a while, so I kind of felt bad, but, always make sure you take care of them. So just a public service announcement from me. And so I watched the Duke, and I kind of watched it pass. When I got home to watch Kentucky, I was talking about yesterday how, like, college basketball to me, I use that analogy of it's like having a really good friend you know is flawed. Like, you still like him, you still hang out with him, he still makes you laugh, and you play golf or you hang out. But, you kind of maybe drinks too much, cheats on his wife, things like that where you go, God, this guy, it just has this thing I don't like. I just don't like about him. It drives me crazy, but I don't want to lose my friendship over him. He's a pretty good guy. He just has this flaw that's just, I can't get over. That's the way I feel about college basketball. I love college basketball, but it's flawed. It's in trouble. It's always corrupt. There's these investigations into it all the time. I mean, we just had this off season where it was really made a major deal. We thought Bill Self was going to lose his job. Remember that conversation about Kansas? Well, he didn't. It just always in this corruption mode, and yet I still love it. So this friend of mine brought a new girlfriend to the party last night, and that's Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese Maxey of Kentucky might be one of the most refreshing college basketball players I've seen in a while. I mean, Zion yet last year got all the hype and attention, but this kid Maxey, I really enjoyed watching. Not the way he played. He played great, and I've seen guys emerge freshmen that played great, but I like the way he really enjoyed himself. He was singing to the songs. He was dancing. He made Dick Vitale lose his mind, which is pretty much anybody who's playing really well makes Dick Vitale lose their mind. But my brother went to Kentucky, and I knew he was up late watching the game because he works early in the morning. But I knew on these nights he stays up for Kentucky hoops. And I texted him. I said, this kid is – I didn't even identify him. I just said, this kid is amazing. And he went, yep, he is. I think this is going to be one of the more refreshing players in college hoops. And he plays for a big-time program. So we all liked Ja Morant last year when he played for Murray State. But we weren't watching Murray State basketball week in and week out. It's close to the end of the season when you realize Ja Morant was good and he was going to be on the big stage. This kid's going to be on the big stage a lot. He was really, really fun to watch. Freshman guard Tyrese Maxey, who led the Wildcats in scoring, hit like an NBA three late in the game. Bold to take that shot.
and knocked it down. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. Of course, he went, you know, John Calipari probably pitched him everything that you want to pitch him, but enjoyed it. Duke won, and two things about Duke winning. And I say this a lot, and it hits me every single year when I watch Duke for the first time, whether it's Zion last year watching the season opener against Kentucky or any other time, is when I watch Mike Krzyzewski, I it really hits me. I'm old and he's really old, and he's been doing that since I was a kid. Like, I don't remember, like, there's no Duke point in my life where Mike Krzyzewski wasn't the head coach of the Blue Devils. And think of all the, you know, it really does hit you. Like, that guy's been at that same job. Jim Boeheim's the same way. Jim Boeheim, I think, has been at Syracuse longer. Because Jim Boeheim played at Syracuse and was an assistant coach at Syracuse. Boeheim's the same way. These long, long coaches. But you know what's interesting about college athletics? Like the Joe Paternos, and, you know, I don't mean to use Joe Paterno in a, you know, bring him up, but, you know, guys who've been at programs a long, long, long time, where it's just generation after generation. We always hear this in the NFL, and we hear this in other sports, where if you're at a position for a period, a long period of time, your voice gets stale, right? You can bring in free agents and you can bring in rookies, but eventually the message has to be changed. And you better have long-term success like Bill Belichick. Otherwise, you're just going to find yourself out, because change just seems like it should be inevitable in the coaching position. But then every now and then in college basketball, you notice that you can have a job for 35 years. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski, again, he got there in 84. Like, Reagan was president. I mean, think about 84. What the world was like, what the sports world was like, how information was digested. Boeheim's been at Syracuse, you know, I guess, since the 70s. I mean, as an assistant all the way through. And it really is impressive. But you know who else has been around a long time too? Dick Vitale. Again, last night, watching. I'm like, man, I've been listening to Dick Vitale since I was a kid. It's like, here are two guys that have been around forever and ever and ever. And this is the thing about Dick Vitale, and I will support Dick Vitale forever. Because a lot of people take a guy that they love for like, and that's got a shtick, and Dick Vitale's got a shtick. Okay, he uses terminology, he's over the top, excited. That's his thing. But you know what else is his thing? He loves college basketball. He loves it more than any other broadcaster. He loves it as much as any other broadcaster loves his sport. Okay? Find the guy that loves college football. The late Beano Cook loved college football. Find anybody else. Find the Tim Kirchen of baseball. Find the guy that, whether it's Brian Windhorst or anybody else that loves the NBA. Find that guy, and Dick Vitale is either equal or greater in terms of his passion for his sport as they are with theirs. Right? That, and you can't help but admire that he has this passion. And if you're clicking on that game, and even if you're not as passionate about it, he wants to share his enthusiasm to you. I look at college basketball and say, love it, but flawed. Love it, but I hate what's behind it. It's like Dick Vitale goes, I love it. I don't care what's behind it. I love it, love it, love it. And my love for it trumps anything that it's going through and any problem it may have. I may wince at some of the things that college basketball does off the court. I may wince at some of the things that the FBI brings out in its investigation and how recruits are recruited and who's paying who and who's getting fired because of it. Vitale just keeps on going, but in the end, it's about the play of the kids. And I, even at my age, and have seen it all from my early days at ESPN through the Leitner Hurley Duke years, when everybody said, all I do is care about Duke and love Duke, to everybody else that has ever come through college basketball, I love it and still love it to this day. He's never gotten cynical about it. And I know he gets paid. Don't get me wrong. I know he gets paid to be Dick Vitale. But trust me on this. He carries that with him. He still has that. And last night, you had the top four teams in the country at Madison Square Garden. You had Mike Krzyzewski. You had John Calipari. You had Tom Izzo, that's been at Michigan State forever. You had Bill Self, who's been at Kansas a while. You had these four great coaches, these four iconic programs. They're playing on the court, and Dick Vitale's on the call. And who loves college basketball more than him? And it just comes through the broadcast. Good night for College Hoops at Madison Square Garden, despite the flaws.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I love this song. This was an early 80s song from Men at Work.
Who doesn't love this song?
This is a great song.
You gotta wait for the part, right?
Right.
The one part.
Exactly. That's a great tune. That's a great tune. Vegemite sandwich. You ever had Vegemite? It's awful.
No.
It's terrible.
Yeah. What is it, like meat paste?
Yeah, it's like a vegetable paste. It's disgusting. When I was in Colorado Springs, yeah, there you go. A guy brought it into the station. And I had to eat it on toast.
Ugh.
It's gross. See, people think it's Bite of My Sandwich.
Yeah.
But it's Vegemite Sandwich.
I sang it Bite of My Sandwich for years.
For a long time, until I saw the lyrics on a cassette. They used to put the lyrics on cassettes, kids.
What? What's that?
In the day. And I went, what's Vegemite? And I couldn't Google it, so I just assumed it was something I didn't know, and I wasn't going to know anything about it. Then somebody brought Vegemite to the radio station I was working at in Colorado Springs, and we had a toaster, and he brought bread, and he said, you got to have this on toast. So we made the toast and put the Vegemite on it, and it was terrible. But people love it.
It doesn't sound appetizing. And I guess there's something similar in England as well, that the way it's been described to me, if you grew up on it, you either love it or hate it. If you're trying it for the first time, you know, it's always a hit or miss.
I gotcha. Haggis?
I don't know. No, it's kind of like Vegemite.
Vegemite, yeah. Men at Work were great. Not to be confused with Dire Straits, but Men at Work were good. So, and nevertheless, I asked you earlier, our good friend Brian Barrett had a rant yesterday about daylight savings time.
Yes, he did.
I wanted to get this out of the way. So Brian Barrett, who does the show right after us here on the network on SB Nation Radio, I love Brian Barrett. I love him. He's funny. He's smart. He's really good. Really good guy. But he had this rant, and he rants a lot. Like, he hates snow. He doesn't like skiing. But he had this rant about daylight savings time. And he was mad because it gets dark now at 4:30.
Should we play it?
Can we play it? Let's play it, yeah. So people know what I'm talking
about.
Sorry,
it's going to sound like a promo.
It's going to sound like a promo, but this is what he...
And it actually is a promo playing on the network.
Right, so you probably have heard it, but here's what I'm talking about.
The Brink.
I have to ask the question, does anybody like daylight savings time? Like setting the clock back an hour? First of all, let's remember we did this weekend, Saturday into Sunday, really early Sunday morning, 2 a.m., right? So you have the daylight saving time. And it's dark now it starts to get dark at like 4:30 in the afternoon here, locally where I'm in Massachusetts. I don't understand the benefit of this. Why do we do this? I really don't understand. Why do we do this? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's dark at 4:30. Who likes that? It's dark at 4:30. We should just do away with this thing. I don't get it. And hey, if we're going to do this thing with sleep, let's get this thing during the week if we're going to have get an extra hour of sleep.
I agree with that.
An extra hour of sleep on the weekend. Okay, most people don't work on the weekend anyway. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, oh my God, it's depressing. You look outside at 4:30 or you come outside at 4:30, it's dark out. Who likes that? It makes you feel tired. I hate it. I don't know why we do this. It's stupid.
The Brink Barrett.
So that's Brian Barrett and his rant on daylight savings time, which is a really good promo for his show, because that's kind of what you can expect from him. But he's really smart. He's got really good sports analysis.
We gotta say this too, which can be heard immediately following us.
That's right, immediately following us. really good host. Really good, and I like Brian. I've known Brian for a long time. I've liked Brian a lot, but he's wrong about this. He's wrong about this because if you're complaining about what you're seeing outside, this is what you're supposed to get outside had we not done daylight savings time in the first place. Remember, we're falling back to the normal time we're supposed to be on. This is what it's supposed to be. Like, if you didn't mess around with the clock at all, it would be dark at 4:30. We're not doing anything with the clock to make it dark at 4:30. The Earth is doing that. The Earth is making it dark at 4:30. We were saving daylight back in the spring when we moved the clocks ahead. Because, and this, and I am a big daylight savings time guy. And the reason is, it's, where I live especially, it's light. If you don't move the clocks, it's light at like 4:30 in the morning. I can't stand it. It's a waste of sunlight. So they take it, move the clocks ahead, so it gets lighter like at 4, 5:30, 6, and then you get it on the back end when you're up. Who wants to get up at 4:30 to see the sunrise? Nobody. So
lovers,
right? Exactly.
We've stayed up all night just to watch the sunrise.
So when he says, why are we still doing this? Okay, but if we don't do this, Brian, that's what you're getting all the time. That's what you get anyway. We're not doing anything that would get you light. Now, if you want to say, let's move the clocks forward and stay that way, well, all right, I guess. I guess we move the clocks ahead and keep it like that. But it would feel weird, wouldn't it? Because we're moving the clocks ahead for a period of time that's abnormal, and then we're going back to normal, and back to normal means, yeah, it's dark at 4:30. Too bad for you. That's why we do this in the first place. So I felt like I had to say it.
Yeah.
So just because it feels like to me, and I'm just, I don't know. Again, I might be just in my little old world here. It feels like whenever we, like, more people complain about, I never heard people complain about daylight savings time when I was growing up.
I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember it being a big deal. I don't remember it being a problem. All I remember is that I wasn't a huge fan of going to church when I was a kid because I grew up Catholic and I kind of found it a little boring. But, you know, I appreciate it when I get older. And I was always kind of hoping my dad would forget the clock thing and we would miss it. And I got to stay in bed and hang out and play.
Yep.
That's what I did on Sundays.
Or, you know, but when we do spring forward, I enjoyed that, like, especially the first couple of days. Even though you lose an hour, I love the fact of, you know, being outside when it's like 6, 7 o'clock and it's still light.
That's one of the reasons I support daylight savings time.
It starts to, you know, you get that summertime feel like, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be.
If you live in a place like my brother, he lives in Indiana that's Eastern, but it's on the back end of the Eastern time zone. So he gets light a lot. It's dark at like 10. That's when it starts getting dark. Like 9:30, you can be out throwing the baseball or chipping golf balls in your backyard. I love it. I love having it light in the summertime until late. I'm a big fan of this. I don't know why people are complaining other than we seem to live in a society where all we do is complain about anything. We grab anything and complain about it. Oh, my God. They slice bread now. I can't believe this. Why can't they just leave it a whole loaf and let me slice it the way I want to? Like, we just find things that have normally been the case for our whole lives, and then for some weird reason, at some point, we went, nope, we got to complain about everything. And now daylight savings time is being complained about. So, anyway. But, you know, don't get confused. If you, in the summertime, if you complain about it, that's legit because we did something.
But he does have a valid argument about why do we, I understand why we do it Saturday to Sunday. I understand because it gives everyone, like 90% of Americans who don't work on weekends, gives them time to adjust for the work week.
Right.
But it would be kind of nice just like have a random Wednesday. Like, hey, guess what? You get to sleep. You get
wouldn't
an extra
that be great?
Hour.
Oh, wouldn't that God. Be great? Especially us.
Especially us.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Robert on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's again, Ron with two N's. If you're a Dick Vitale fan, here's some unheard nuggets of things you didn't know about him. When he was at the University of Detroit basketball. Yeah, I remember that. I remember when he was at the University of Detroit. Like, I saw pictures. I don't remember him like coaching, but I remember he was coach. I said this earlier, if you missed it, I'm a Dick Vitale fan.
I don't think I ever remember him coaching.
Yeah, it was way in the, you know, way before our time, I think.
But right.
I know is that he's just been around for an eternity.
Yeah, all of a sudden he was, yeah, baby, on the sidelines. And then like that's how I know him.
Not to date myself, I was doing impressions of him when I was in high school, and that was like a long time ago. He's been around a long time, and he's a really nice guy. If you ever met him in person, he's a really, really nice guy. I was at the SEC championship tournament a couple years ago, and my seat was directly behind his, and he kind of jumps up a lot. Like, you don't see it on TV, but he jumps up and he gets excited a lot.
Do you think he still does?
I don't know.
I mean, I know he's getting up there.
He's getting up there. You know what it is? He's like Lee Corso, right? Like, you're kind of waiting for the day where there's no more Lee Corso. Not that he's going to die. I mean, when ESPN goes, all right, Lee, it's time to move on to retirement. That's kind of the way I feel about Dick Vitale sometimes. Like, 1 year, he's just not going to be there anymore. Like, he's going to be like, no, we're moving on to younger analysts and whatnot. But like I said, it'd be hard to replace him because I don't think there's a person on the planet that loves college basketball more than him.
All right, I mean, if you had to take a guess,
yep.
Who's older? Between Dick Vitale and Lee Corso.
That's a good... I want to say Lee Corso because he was coaching at Florida State when Burt Reynolds was there. I'm going to say Lee Corso.
Yes.
By how much?
4 years.
Oh, okay. So it's not as big as I thought.
No, Lee Corso is 84. Dick Vitale is 80.
Dick Vitale is 80 years old.
Yep.
If I can still be going like that at 80 years old, I'll take it. I will take it. If I'm at 80 and I'm at Madison Square Garden watching 19-year-old kids play basketball, and I'm as excited about that at 80, seeing it all. I mean, he's seen it all. He has been around for some of the biggest games in college basketball season, in college basketball, or at least regular season history, because he doesn't do the tournament. If I'm still as excited about that at 80 years old, I will take that every time. Good for him.
He's still married to his first wife.
Oh, is he really?
That's which is unusual.
Not that I would expect a Dick Vitale marital scandal
It's just, I mean, they've been married since 1971.
No kidding. Good for him.
That's a good run.
That is a really good run. Good for him. I know he's a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. He has season tickets down there. So remember when they would go to him, like during the selection committee, and they would go to his house? I think it's like in Sarasota or something. Down in Florida, when they would shoot, like he'd be in his office. And like, well, the committee has made Duke number one again. How do we feel about that? Let's go to Dick Vitale.
For as much of a college basketball guru he is, he doesn't have an impressive coaching resume.
No, not at all.
That is amazing to think about.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
he's not Mike Krzyzewski.
His overall coaching record is 79-29. He barely coached 100 games.
That's funny. No. Wasn't he the Pistons coach,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, for 1 year.
Yeah.
He left University of Detroit to coach the Pistons, and he coached them to a 34-60 record.
Oh, okay. That was quick. He's probably like, oh, I hate this pro game. I ain't doing this anymore.
Yep, but he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame and the College Basketball Hall of Fame. Probably not as a coach.
Of course he is. Of course he is. He really has done a lot for that sport, though. Like, I'm serious. Like, he's like the cleaner. Like when you have, like, when college basketball gets murky, they bring out Dick Vitale to just show you how excitable it can be and how awesome it really is, how fun it is. And then you go, oh, yeah, okay. It's great. This is great. I love college basketball. I don't know. It's kind of neat. Like, the games don't have the same feeling or same punch, but it was kind of fun to watch last night. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. We are going to get to Thursday Night Football's game with the Chargers and the Raiders that is coming up in Oakland. Thoughts on that coming up next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Chargers and Raiders Thursday night. And the Raiders are 4-4.
In London.
In London. Eventually, we're going there. Eventually.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness. But the Raiders are 4-4. And we, as we've said before, and people have pointed out, the Raiders haven't had a home game since week two, right? Since, you know, pretty much all of October.
Back to back.
Now they got back to back. And I've heard people, like, in converse, like, writing about the Raiders and whatnot. John Gruden at 4-4. Should he be getting some coach of the year love? And I want to go, okay, why don't we just make everybody a coach of the year candidate? If John Gruden is going to be a coach of the year candidate, 4-4, and you want me to start thinking of him as a potential coach of the year?
I would like to nominate Dan Quinn for coach of the year. Why not?
Let's go to Dan Quinn. Listen, I know 4-4 is a fine record, but tell me, and again, I don't think either one of them should be close to consideration, but how is John Gruden's 4-4 with some road games early in the season? How in the, with his quarterback, his starting quarterback healthy, how in the world is that better than what Mike Tomlin's done in Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph and Delvin Hodges? If you want to talk about that. No, the coach of the year right now is Sean Payton. Because Sean Payton had Teddy Bridgewater win 6 games, right? He's coach of the year. Kyle Shanahan is coach of the year.
I was going to say Kyle Shanahan.
Right? I mean, these are the names that are coach of the year. You don't give the coach of the year or even consider a guy that may still not make the playoffs. It shouldn't even be in the conversation. Is it because Gruden is a likable guy that people want him to be successful? Because where in the world is this coming from? I mean, I'm rolling my eyes at this. But the boys on Sunday Night Football had a podcast and they were throwing this idea around. And I said, you got to be kidding. Don't tell me this is just a talking point conversation. 4-4 is nice for the Raiders. Yep, they've been on the road a long time. But let's not go overboard here. Sean Payton's done magic with Teddy Bridgewater. Kyle Shanahan is the only unbeaten team left. You know who never gets it is Belichick. You should. You should be more in the conversation. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It is a Wednesday. Glad you could be with us as we roll along, getting ready for week 10 in the NFL.